rest. Good meeting this morning. I don't know what more we could ask for except somebody get saved. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with us over to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. We'll be starting in verse 13 this morning. Before we go any further, don't forget to pray for Brother Troy. He's preaching this morning off, so you pray for him as you pray for us. And the Lord will bless him. He's up in Rome at a good preacher friend of mine's church. And a lot of you know Brother Rob Miller. So y'all pray for them this morning. God would bless there. And I know Brother Billy Chambers is close to some of your heart. He got sick Friday night after revival, and he's got another revival this week. So I'm hoping he's feeling a little better today. He said he thought it was just something he ate or something Friday night. So you pray for him also. I know he would appreciate that from the bottom of his heart. It's good to have everybody with us this morning. And I appreciate our members and visitors alike. We're fixing to read. Got a beautiful family on this side, and somebody let me know they had heard us on the internet. And my son, he does the website, and he don't always get to know if it's reaching people, and said he was listening to me preaching on the internet, and he liked it, and he wanted to come hear me in person. So hopefully I won't let you down this morning, amen. So it puts you on the spot sometime, but I just want to be mindful of the Lord. And I believe he'll understand this, and I hope all you do. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to tell you the truth and tell you that Jesus loves you. We don't have anything new to preach or anything new to tell. I'm preaching out of the same book that the preacher was preaching out of when I got saved. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you can leave here this morning a child of the King. Amen. Michael Combs had a wonderful testimony last night. He was drunk on drugs, and he said most of his family would probably give up on him, thought he'd burn so many cells up that he wouldn't even understand if they told him the gospel. But he said, but Jesus didn't give up on me. And Jesus came to him and called him out in a little old church down in South Georgia. And his testimony was just wonderful, but he said there's a little Indian preacher down there from Woodstock, Georgia, Brother Johnny Hunt. Some of you know Brother Johnny or heard of Brother Johnny Hunt. And he said, I walked the aisle and asked Jesus to save me at Westside Baptist Church. And ever since then, he's been trying to do the work of the Lord, and I appreciate him. He has a different style, but, you know, if everybody was the same, we wouldn't need but one singer and one preacher. God made all of us different, and it's because we reach different people in different ways. I want you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, if you're willing and able. I'm going to start reading at verse 13 of chapter 14 of the book of St. Matthew. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And when he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looked up to heaven. He blessed and he broke and he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and they were filled. They took up the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. You may be seated this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing the good spirit was able to feel, Lord, already in this service. We thank you for Sunday school. Lord, we thank you for this church, Lord, what it means to us. And every person, Lord, that abides in this church today, they'll never know how much I love them. Lord, what a blessing they've been to me. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them, Lord, abundantly. I thank you, Lord, for the visitors, Lord, you've directed to come this way today. But most of all, I'm thankful that you're here. Lord, that you're drawing, that you're touching hearts. I pray, God, you'd visit all these that can't be with us today, the sick and afflicted, those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, assisted living homes. Lord, I pray you'd be with Brother Troy this morning. He's off preaching. Lord, bless him. Give him what he stands in need of. Be with us here at Welcome Grove today. Lord, if there's one under the sound of our voice that's never asked you to be their Savior, I pray this would be that good hour. They'd walk the aisle and come and ask you to save them. I pray, Lord, you'd bless Brother Clinton, Lord. As the weeks draw nigh to our revival, give him, Lord, what he needs. Strengthen his body, Lord, and just touch him. Bless him in his church this morning. And Lord, whatever's accomplished, Lord, here today, we'll do our best to bind where the head. Give you the praise and honor and the glory, Lord, for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. For us in Jesus' name, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. The story of the 5,000 being fed is a very familiar story to most of us. Jesus began to depart thence by ship into a desert place, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. I'm glad there's still people following Jesus. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that everybody's not following his ways or his teaching or the things that he wants us to do. But I'm glad we got a Savior that set an example for the church that wherever he might go, that we could go, and that would follow in his footsteps in the way that he lived and taught and moved and had his being, Brother E.J. I'm glad that he had compassion on people. Amen. Bible said they begin to follow him out to a desert place. And most of the time when somebody's following you, they're following you to a place where maybe there's something there for them to get. Usually when somebody's following me, we're either going to church or Brother E.J., we're going to a restaurant. There's been a few times somebody followed me to on vacation, didn't know where we was going. Nowadays, nobody has to follow one another. We just use a GPS. Amen. Amen. But I tell you, GPS will get you in trouble a lot of times. Amen. There's been a few times that the GPS said, need to turn around. Amen. And the GPS reminds me, if you'd have it, the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of times that the Spirit says you need to turn around. You've got off track. You ain't going in the right direction like Jesus would walk. You need to turn around. Amen. You know what that's called in the Bible? It's called repent. Repent means to turn from our wrong actions and wrongdoing and go in the opposite direction away from what we're doing. Amen. A lot of people believe repent means to come and ask God to forgive them for what they're doing, and they get up and go back out and keep doing the same thing. You didn't repent. As a week came, I said, you didn't repent. That's the truth. Repentance means we'll try our best to turn away. God knows we're going to sin. God forgives us for our sin. But I remember one time he told a lady, he said, go and sin no more. God don't want us to sin. God hates sin. Sin destroys individuals and families and churches and countries. Sins against all of us. Amen. And friend, I'll tell you something. If we play around with sin, we'll be burnt just as if we played with fire. Sin will catch up to us. It's an old song years ago Jeff Hathcock used to sing when he sang with Bobby and them. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, and sin will cost you more than you'll want to pay. I believe there's people today with all my heart that's been saved. And God forgive them, but somewhere in this country, their liver is shutting down because of the years that they drank. There's people in the hospital. It's got lung cancer and lip cancer and throat cancer because of cigarettes or dip or things that we couldn't get rid of. And I've said this a lot of times. There's things that we do, Brother EJ. It's harmful to this body. We like to bring up alcohol and cigarettes, but eating too much ain't good for you. Eat the wrong things ain't good for you. Amen. We need to realize that what we eat and the things that we do, and one day if we're not doing right, we'll pay for these things and we'll suffer in this flesh. Amen. And that even goes for the preacher. The double cheeseburgers from McDonald's are going to catch up with me one day. Amen. I'm not above getting sick, Brother DB. I'm not above my body not taking things well. Sometimes we think we can eat anything we want. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned as I've got older. I used to eat ice cream anytime I want. But now every time I eat ice cream, it seems like it don't sit well with me. Every time I eat barbecue, it don't sit well with me. It's still good. I still try to cheat and do it. But it ain't good for me. Amen. These things that your pastor eats, so the doctor told me I couldn't eat. How many of you like cream corn? Say amen. And he told me, he said, corn's the worst thing on you. I said, how come it tastes so good? Amen. Don't taste like it's bad for me. Amen. But I had ulcers, and they say corn's one of the foods that don't digest real good. It's not good on your stomach. Amen. But every once in a while around Thanksgiving, I like to thank God for corn. Amen. I eat me a little bit of it. Every time around Christmas time or when we have homecoming, I like to cheat a little bit and eat some corn. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there was some men here that was following the Lord out to a desert place, and the Bible said he was moved with compassion towards them and he healed their sick. Did you know this morning that God, Jesus was God the flesh, amen, and that his compassions are moved towards you this morning? He cares about your family. He cares about your children. He cares about your grandchildren. He cares about what we're going through, and if we'll come to him, he said he'd help us carry our load. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have a God that has compassion towards his people, ain't it? And he said, when it was evening, his disciples came to him. And this was a desert place, and the time is now past. Send a multitude away that they may go in the villages and buy them something, themselves victuals. That's just like us, you know. A lot of times it's like, boy, it's getting late, boys. And disciples was talking amongst one another. And so we might need to go talk to the Lord and tell him to send everybody away. It's getting late. Everybody's going to need to get something to eat. Brother Matt, it'd be good to send them back in the villages where there's something to eat. Amen. I'm going to tell you something everybody needs to eat. It's not healthy to miss meals all the time. It's just as bad not to eat as it is to eat too much. Amen. And women, don't get mad at me, but if you weigh anywhere between 100 and 150 pounds, now here you're talking about your weight, shame on you. I tell Amanda all the time, good night, she looks like a model to me. Quit talking about your figure. Amen. So that's the way God made her. If you weigh between 150 to 250, I'd appreciate God give you more of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny. That's true. That's the way God made us, ain't it, brother? Everybody can't be small and everybody can't be big. I used to tell my kids when I was real little, they say, Daddy, you getting big. I said, it's just more love on, buddy. Just more love on it. Amen. I might get a little bigger as time goes on. Metabolism. I've seen people that was healthy and small and have car wrecks and been in hospitals for months at a time, laying in the bed and couldn't move. Their legs get so skinny because their muscles begin to deteriorate. Brother, matter, they can't walk. And I've seen it go the opposite direction. I've seen people's heart shut down, their liver and all these things, and blood begin to build up. And somebody weighed 150 pounds a turn. I turn out weighing 300, 400. When they leave the hospital in a wheelchair, only God knows what you're going to go through. We don't know what we're going through. One of my good preacher friends, Brother Russell Jolly, I mentioned him pretty regularly. When I first met him, he probably weighed about 350 pounds. Last time I seen him in his living room at his house, went over to his house to visit him in the living room. He had a suit on. And I said, "You going somewhere?" He said, "I'm going to church. We'll get to feeling better a little bit later." And he didn't get to go that night, but he had a suit on him. And it looked like my bathrobe, Brother DB. It just swallowed him up. Cancer had took a toll on him. He probably weighed 170, 150 pounds. Brother Darrell almost lost 200 pounds. I never thought he'd be that small of a framed man. But we really don't know what life's going to bring us. I don't know why I'm saying all this here today. But all I'm saying is this: God bless you if you're small or big or sick or healthy. His compassion is toward you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And these men followed him out to a desert place. And the Bible said the disciples began to try to get the Lord to send them away. And that's what he says, send the multitude away. They may go into the villages. You know, there's a lot of churches doing that today. We just need to send them away. They're not our kind of people. I remember when I first come to Welcome Grove and I met with the deacons. Some of them that's still alive may remember this, some of you may not. But I said, "I got one question to ask you." And I had several to ask, but I said, "I got one last question to ask you." And they said, "What is that?" I said, "You're in a community where there's all different kinds of people, Mexicans and African-American and whites and Indians." And I said, "All I want to ask is everybody welcome? Your sign says Welcome Grove." And they said, "Yeah." I said, "If a black man wants to join, would you let him?" "Yeah." "And the Indian?" "Yeah." "And the Mexican?" "Even if they can't understand me, if they want to join here, they're welcome. Jesus died for everybody." And I told them, I said, "If it ever gets to where they're not welcome, then I won't be your preacher." Amen. We need to be somewhere where God can touch everybody and God can reach all nations because he died for everybody. Amen. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest blessings in my life was Sister Toyin. She didn't just come and visit us, but she found a place to stay. Amen. And I'm hoping one of these days others will come in, see you here, and say, "Well, at least I ain't by myself. Sister Toyin's here, and they'll stay." We've never told them they couldn't stay. I'm going to tell you something. I've been to a couple black churches. And I liked it, Brother D.B. I tell you what, they wasn't sitting there like they didn't enjoy it. I tell you that. Amen. And they don't mind staying there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If I stayed up here preaching today, Brother E.J., at 2 o'clock, it'd probably just be me and you and a couple of other people. Amen. But you go down there and preach at your buddy's church, and at 2 or 3 o'clock, they'll be waving handkerchiefs. "Preach on, Brother E.J. Brother, that's good." They love it. And I don't believe it's a show. They love it. It's their life. That's the way all churches used to be. It's getting fewer and fewer. Every time I go to revival, my heart's saddened. Because I'll go to churches where people used to shout. Tears is crying. People would go to the altar and you go there and go a whole service. Nobody goes to the altar. Go a whole service, don't see nobody cry. Go a whole service and don't even feel God's presence. Listen to a message and don't hear really anything from the Lord. Not hearing a word from the Lord.
God help me, and I'm not judging other men. I'll get on to myself too here. God help me if I get up and I keep preaching the Spirit and give you something when you come here. If I ever get like that, I hope God will take me out of here. I want to feed you. I love you. I want to help you. I want to tell you the truth, not because of my name, but I want to do it because I love you. Amen. And I believe every preacher ought to want to do that. I don't understand if they don't. The message today, I want to get down here to what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart. It seems like sometimes we get to rolling, it gets bigger than we think it is. They got down, the Bible said, Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. Ain't you glad when Jesus says, ain't no need in going away, you might as well just stay here with us. You might be here this morning and say, well, I've been looking for a good church. There ain't no need in departing. Just get on in. Amen. Well, I've been looking for a preacher that loved me and my family. Wouldn't run off with another woman. Wouldn't live one way outside of church and inside of church. I ain't much of a preacher, but you ain't got to worry about none of that stuff. Ain't no need in departing anywhere. You can stay here. I'll love you and help you the best I can. Amen. Say, well, I'm looking for a church with some good singing. Ain't no need going anywhere else in. Looking for a church that's got some good musicians. Ain't no need going anywhere else in. You're going to stay right here. Well, I'm spiritually hungry. There ain't no need going anywhere else in. You'll get fed if you stay here. Amen. I'm fat on the spirit around this place. Think I've gained about 50 pounds since I joined here. I know physically I have, but spiritually ain't no telling how big I am. Amen. But the Lord, He'll help us to grow if we'll let Him this morning. Jesus said, don't send them away, give you them to eat. All His disciples, no doubt, Brother Brandon, they begin to look at what they had. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That ain't even 3 Captain D's meals, really. You get a piece of bread on every one and a couple pieces of fish, that'd be 6 pieces of fish and 3 pieces of bread. We flipped it right opposite, 5 pieces of bread, Brother EJ, and 2 pieces of fish. And I'm going to tell you something, I don't care how big the fish was. I don't care if it's 100 pounds. We're talking about 5,000 men just followed the Lord out to a desert place, and they're hungry. The disciples made a good point, and I would have been probably in there with the disciples. Lord, we need to send them away. We ain't got enough. How many of you have ever invited somebody over to eat, men? And you get in there, and your wife says, what was you thinking? We ain't got enough to feed all of us tonight. Y'all ever had that happen? And I'm going to tell you, I just, help me out, Marty. You know more about it than I do. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But it's amazing sometimes a man will cook that chili or soup or something now. And we'll get in there and ask God to bless it. You know, we got just enough to feed 8 people just like we used to with 4. Brother EJ, thank you, Lord. I told him, I said, we don't have as many leftovers in the refrigerator as we used to. But we got just enough to feed everybody that's in the house. I thought about this, boy, it's been stirring in my heart real strong all weekend. Lord, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You need to send them away. And the Lord, listen to what He said. He said, bring them hither to me. Somebody go get the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and bring it to me. And the Bible said He looked up toward heaven and He blessed it and He began to break it. And they asked all the people to sit down and they begin to pass it out like we did the communion the other Sunday. And they begin to pass the bread out and begin to pass the pieces of fish out, Brother EJ. And the Bible said everybody ate. And they was filled. How many of you come to church this morning and you can leave and say that you've been filled by the Holy Spirit? Amen. This is the thought the Lord gave me this past week. They still some left. Everybody got done eating. Everybody was full. The Bible said the Lord got the disciples, the 12 baskets, and they began to take up the fragments. Praise the Lord. Brother E.J., and all 12 baskets was full. Amen. Not only can God take care of you and me, but brother, there's enough left over today that He'll never run out. Amen. What are you talking about, Brother Jeff? How many of you in here has ever been saved? Say amen. And I'll tell you what, if somebody wants to come get some this morning, there's some salvation still in the basket. How many of you's ever shouted, say amen, ain't me? Amen. That's going to be a very weak amen out there. But I'm going to tell you something, you want to shout, there's still some shout in the basket. How many of you's ever come to the altar to pray about something just going through, your children, your grandchildren, your family, trouble, a job, and God met your need? Say amen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if anybody walks out today, I don't care how small or how big your problem is, there's still an answer left in the basket. He ain't never going to run out. He's got what we need today. Ain't that good to know that He's never going to run out? I know this message ain't as long as maybe normal, but I want to come get a verse of song. I want to ask you a question today. What is it that you need that I could promise you God's still got in the basket for you today? If you needed some bread, He said He still had 12 baskets full. Say, boy, it'd be good to get a hold of it. Little bit of fish this morning. You know why He said fish? You ever thought about that? Somebody might be here this morning and go, oh, Brother Jeff, I just don't like fish. Get that out of your mind for a minute. We're not talking about the fish. We're talking about the bread is the Word of God. That's what He said. The bread is the Word of God. Another place He said, some of you still on the milk when you ought to be on the meat of the Word. The fish is a picture of the deep things of God. And the bread is just the good things of God. One place He even said this. How shall man live by bread alone? We can't do it. He said, but we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Ain't you glad we still got a Bible left in the basket? Ain't you glad the Holy Spirit's still moving? We got the Spirit still in the basket. You know, I was thinking about a verse this past week, and I'm going to study it on a little bit more. Because it seemed like the further I get in my ministry, Brother D.B., the worse it's getting about the Spirit. And I couldn't help, my mind went to a verse where He said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. And I started thinking, Lord, is that what we're... I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm just sharing my heart with you. I'm not trying to say this is right or wrong, be honest with you. But I begin to think, Brother D.B., are we watching God begin to pull His Spirit back from the church and His people and all these because people don't want God like they used to, and everything's more important than church, and nobody wants to go to revival, and nobody seems to have time to study their Bible. Everybody's got time to do everything else except make time for the Lord. Now it's really wondering, Lord, is that what we're watching? You said your Spirit would not always strive with man, that you're beginning to pull it back a little. That don't mean there won't be spiritual churches, I promise you that. The Spirit's going to always be here so that people can be saved till Jesus comes. I believe that. But I believe if people don't get hungry, Brother E.J., for the truth and get hungry, really hunger, where He said, hunger after and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Then what's going to happen is we're just going to dry up. We're just going to dry up. I want us to rise to our feet this morning. I know the message is a little different maybe, but I'm going to tell you something. God's got something in the basket for you. If you'll come get it. Think about this, and then I'll be quiet. If we took up an offering today, and I said, I want you to put something in there. Men went around the church. We took up $7. $7. And then I said, now everybody that's got a bill needs to be paid, and you ain't got enough money, and you're struggling, you're tight. Won't you come around this morning, and I want you to lay your bills up here, and I'm going to start pulling out, and we're going to pay them. Never thought of it like this, Brother Madden. We pulled it out, we paid that, and paid the next. People kept coming for paid it. And when we got done, you looked up here on the table. There was 12 men in the church that went back around. Picked up any fragments that was left. If you have a little change had left, 10 cents, nickel, penny, whatever. We had 12 baskets up here with dollars flowing out of them and change and stuff. And they were just flowing over. And I guarantee you, everybody would say, didn't we start with $7? Didn't we just start out with just a little bit and we paid everybody's bills and we still got plenty? What I'm getting at this morning, the money-wise and the natural things we can see sometimes. They seen Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Spiritually, we can't see what God does. But I'm telling you, there's enough for you here this morning if you'll come. How about it, Brother Nick? How about it? Let's sing this morning. What is it that God has for you in the basket this morning? There's something left for you. There's something left for you. There's plenty in the basket for everybody.